Hi, this is Chip Lococo. Welcome back to my podcast channel. I'm thrilled to have in the studio today Maddie Muntz, actress, singer, and theatrical artist. Welcome, Maddie.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
This summer, Tulane Summer Lyric Theater is performing the musical Rent by Jonathan Larson. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Maddie, you are playing the role of?
Maureen Johnson.
Maureen Johnson. And that play will take place in August?
Yes. So it starts August 3rd and runs until the 7th.
So before we get into Rent, because we'll discuss a little bit about the production, I want to talk a little bit about you first off. Where were you born and raised, Maddie?
I was born and raised in Ocoee, Florida, which is right outside of Orlando. We moved to Orlando, or my parents did, from New Orleans to start working at Disney World. So I think, you know, magic and performing has always been a part of my life since I was little. And coming back and forth in between Orlando and New Orleans, I think I've been inspired by art for, you know, as long as I can remember.
So your connections, though, run deep in New Orleans, is fair to say, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd be remiss if I did not say that your mother is the original Pam Lococo Muntz, who would be my sister, correct?
That is correct.
Along with my other sister, Beth Lococo Duty, that comprises the entire family dynamic of the Lococos here in New Orleans. Of course, my mother's still alive, who is your grandmother, Linda Goodyear Lococo.
Yes.
But so your parents moved to Orlando. Where did you go to high school in Orlando?
I went to Dr. Phillips High School, which is right across the street from Universal Studios. So if you've ever visited, you'd most likely see it. It's a performing arts high school. They have a magnet program, which focuses on different areas of arts, and theater is probably their top program. It's recognized as one of the top 10 in the nation for high schools. So, it was a very intense program, but it was, you know, everything that I needed to get started in my career.
It's a very famous high school. And it had some famous artists who graduated from the school.
Yeah. Wayne Brady. There's definitely others. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting people coming out of there.
What productions, while you were there, were you in? Just to touch on a few of them,
yeah,
if you could.
Yeah. We got to do a variety of shows. Most high schools do 1 to 2 shows a year. We did 8 a year. So we were constantly working on a lot of different pieces. But I would say Mary Poppins would be probably the most recognizable. I did Rent in high school and I played the same role. So that's been an interesting journey to think about how I did it as a 17-year-old compared to now. I did Tick, Tick, Boom, which is another show by Jonathan Larson. So it's been interesting to dive into his work again. But yeah, those are a few.
And Betty, how old are you now?
I am 23.
23, a young artiste.
That's right.
You mentioned that Dr. Phillips was right next to Universal. Did you end up working at Disney or did you work at Universal?
This is a very controversial topic because we are a Disney family, but after I graduated, right before I was going to school, I needed a job and they had an opening in Harry Potter World. So I worked in the Leaky Cauldron as a witch, serving your beer and your butter beer and your chicken sandwiches. But I eventually worked at Disney too as a lifeguard for a little bit. So I had my taste of both companies.
So we graduated from Dr. Phillips. Where did you go after that?
So the audition process for college, or the college process in general, is so much different than, you know, you just submitting your transcripts. For college, you have to audition and get in both academically and artistically. I went through a long process of auditioning for about 15 schools, both as an acting major and a musical theater major. I just happened to come across my school while I was on a break and sat down with my professors, and it was Arcadia University, located right outside of Philadelphia in Glenside. And it was such a great experience with these two professors, and it was honestly what made me ultimately decide choosing this small little school outside of Philly. But yeah, it was Arcadia.
And you went there and studied?
So I had a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in acting, and then I had a concentration in musical theater.
And again, you would have performed roles while you were there?
Yep.
So what were some of the most famous ones you did, or favorite ones you did?
My favorite one was probably the Great American Trailer Park Musical, which took place in a trailer park in Florida. And I played a 17-year-old named Pickles who was having hysterical pregnancies.
And you graduated?
I graduated May 2021 through COVID. I did theater school online for a little bit, which was very interesting, but I ultimately did get that BFA, so here we are.
And you're living in Philadelphia now?
Yes, I am currently located in Center City, Philadelphia, which has been really awesome. It's a great city. There's a lot of art there and, you know, a lot of culture there as well.
So you graduated from Arcadia, and then, of course, comes this the part of looking for jobs in the musical theater, right?
Yes.
I know you had done some work at Tulane Summer Lyric last year, correct?
That's right. So I went through the audition process last year while I was still in school. They had their season. I don't remember what all of them were, but I submitted for everything, and I had gotten a email randomly. I submitted all the way back in probably the end of February, maybe March. It was still a weird time with, you know, COVID. They weren't sure if the season was going to happen. But the day before graduation, I found out that I was offered a contract for Jesus Christ Superstar as one of the apostles. So it was my first professional contract in musical theater. So that was exciting. And I got to come back and, you know, meet all these people, work with new directors and choreographers. I met really great friends, and at the same time I got to be in New Orleans and be with my family, so it's, you know, perfect.
And Tulane Summer Lyric is a great program.
Oh yeah,
I know your mom worked for Tulane Summer Lyric, correct?
Yes, the famous
Pam LaCoco months back then. Pam LaCoco back then. I remember as a child going to see the productions with at that time the big singer back then was Kirk Redman. Right. Anthony LaShore was there.
Right.
All who became great singers at the Metropolitan Opera.
Right.
And of course, Pam Lentz.
Of course, as the bodyguard and the King and I. I mean, I remember us going to see Summer Lyric shows as a whole family and thinking, you know, this feels like a professional theater. These look like professional actors. And I think it's been around for us for a long time.
So we're going to fast forward to, let's say, March of 2022, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that Tulane Summer Lyric is doing Rent, and you send out a resume. Is that how it works for somebody like you trying to get a job?
Right. I think the process has changed a lot with COVID. I think it used to be for Summer Lyric that you had to audition in person, but luckily it's kind of more accessible now. I saw a posting for the whole season, which consists of Bandstand, which is, you know, pretty new, I would say, as musical theater goes. And then they did Into the Woods and Rent. And I was excited by all three of them. And I was, you know, hoping that one of them would give me the opportunity to come back. So I submitted in March, and I had heard back from Into the Woods first and had a call back for that. And, you know, never really heard anything, so I wasn't sure. But then I got, while I was in rehearsals for Rigoletto at Opera Philadelphia, I got an email about a callback for Rent for a role that I was not even, the role that I'm not, I wasn't even playing, you know. But they asked me to do a virtual callback, and I did that. And I think maybe a month later, I had received a contract for Rent.
So you would say this is your first professional contract, per se, correct?
I would consider this my biggest role in a professional contract, since, you know, Summer Lyric did offer me a professional contract last summer. It was the first time I was really paid to do a show, but this feels very, very, you know, a lot, very big and very professional. So
it's exciting. Come on.
Oh yeah.
I'm damn proud as uncle, I can tell you that. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Rent. So in getting ready for this interview, I looked at Tick Tick Boom, which was Jonathan Larson's I guess first or maybe second play musical.
So yeah, I did my research too. I was watching No Day But Today, which is the documentary about the making of Rent and Jonathan Larson's story. And he was writing so many different things, and Tick Tick Boom came before Rent, and it was basically just a representation of his frustration of constantly being rejected and working so hard and turning 30 and feeling like nothing's going anywhere. So that was a one-man show workshopped in front of, you know, Stephen Sondheim attended this event that he held, but it didn't really go anywhere, but it was starting to get people's attention. And I think because he was putting out the type of work he was, you know, putting out, it eventually got attention to create Rent.
And he based the musical Rent on an opera.
Yes.
Can you state what opera he based it on?
It would be La Bohème.
La Bohème. So, as you know, your uncle is a opera historian, aficionado, fan. So I'm going to talk a little bit about La Bohème, and I want you to then compare it to Rent for the audience.
Absolutely.
Okay. Turn of the century, Puccini, Giacomo Puccini, the greatest Italian composer next to Giuseppe Verdi, was looking to write an opera after his success with Manon Lescaut. He looked towards novels and plays. That's where he would get his inspiration to form his opera. Henri Moget, a Frenchman, had written a book entitled The Scenes de la Vie Bohème, which looked at artists living in the Latin Quarter in Paris. So that was the genesis of his opera La Bohème, which follows the lives of four friends who live in a rooftop apartment overlooking Paris in the Latin Quarter. And it's the bohemian life. They were artists, starving artists. So my first question is, and this is the kind of comparison. We are in La Bohème in the Latin Quarter in Paris. Rent takes place where?
So Rent takes place in New York City. Alphabet City is what they call it in Rent. But I was, you know, doing some research, and it's kind of based off of the Lower East Side. And it's in the height of, you know, homelessness and the disease that was, you know, coming through New York and just wiping everybody out. So, it was basically just a parallel to La Bohème of, you know, these starving artists who were trying to create and live at the same time while barely being able to afford, you know, a place to sleep.
You mentioned illness, and La Bohème, Mimi, who we'll talk a little bit more, but that is the lead soprano, the lead female role in the opera, is suffering from tuberculosis, which at the turn of the century was the main disease, and when La Bohème was written, was the main disease that people were afraid of death of. You pretty much got a death sentence when you got it. What is the disease in Rent?
It would be, HIV positive turning into AIDS. That's, you know, the main issue that circulates throughout the story. And in Rent, Mimi is suffering with the fact that she is, you know, she has AIDS. And I think maybe, I'm not sure how it would compare in La Bohème, how she feels about having the disease. You know, they are very different diseases, but it seems like she is trying to live her life to the fullest because she knows that, you know, time is rented. It's not everlasting. So she's making the most out of the time she has left.
So now let's turn to each character and see who's the parallel in Rent. So in the opera La Bohème, the tenor role, the lead male role, would be Rodolfo. In the opera, he is a poet. In Rent, who is it?
He used to be in a band. He's a rock, guitarist, very grungy, very raw character. And I would say that in Rent, I don't know if there's any, you know, backstory between La Bohème, but he is also infected with AIDS. And it was, during that time, it was either by needle or, you know, by sexual contact. And his story specifically is by needle and drug abuse. So he's...
And his name is?
Roger. Yeah, and he's battling with that.
Yes, in La Bohème, Rodolfo does not have the disease.
Gotcha.
But he, you know, of course, they're poor and everything else, but he does not suffer from the disease. Only Mimi does in the
right
opera.
And interestingly enough, I think Jonathan Larson, he talked about how he saw each of his friends and each of these characters. It wasn't just one singular person that was representing, you know, people in his life. But Roger specifically talks about poetry a lot, and he's trying to write his songs and bring back his music and find what was making him happy before he knew, you know, what had happened to him. And they always reference him being kind of a poet or being an artist or talking about Musetta's waltz. So I think, you know, Jonathan Larson did a good job of incorporating pieces of La Boheme in that character specifically.
Next is Mimi. In the opera, Mimi is a seamstress who lives above the, well, lives on the same floor as the Bohemians. In the musical, she is...
Mimi is a dancer, maybe a stripper, depending on how you want to phrase it. But she is a junkie as well. And they don't talk about her having a place to live. So I think she's... I think all of them are considered squatters, but she's, you know, she doesn't really have one central place she's living at.
The other two characters who I would say just kind of fill the roles in La Boheme are Colline and Schaunard. The minor roles in the opera, who are they in Rent?
So I believe that is leaning towards Collins, Tom Collins and Angel Demanchemon, or whatever, you know, however they say their last name. But in this story, they're both, Collins is a professor, and Angel is someone who is also infected with HIV and is really the character that has no fear of the disease and is trying to make light of the situation. So they fall in love in Rent, and they're a couple until, you know, I think in La Boheme, Mimi is the one who dies at the end. In Rent, it's actually Angel who is the first to pass out of the friend group of AIDS. So they kind of have a leading story, I would say, in Rent, more so than...
Then the last two characters would be Marcello in the opera. He's a painter, probably the closest friend of Rodolfo's.
Yes.
He has a girlfriend, Musetta, in the opera. We'll talk about Musetta in a second. So let's talk about Marcello. Who in Rent is equivalent to Marcello?
I would say that would be Mark Cohen, who is honestly, in my eyes, he's pretty much the lead. He's the storyteller. He's the narrator. He's the one who breaks the fourth wall to tell you exactly what's going on in the story. In Rent, he is a filmmaker, and he's struggling with, you know, the fact that he wants to make all these things, and he's kind of making his art about all of his friends, and he's offered contracts, but it's more, you know, fake media and not really what he wants to be creating. So he's, you know, struggling with that in Rent.
And then we get to Musetta. In the opera, Musetta is flirtatious. She was the past boyfriend of Marcello. When we first meet her, she has hooked up with a very rich individual. However, she comes back to Marcello in the opera, and she kind of leaves the rich side to come back to love and passion and this childhood romance type of thing. Who in the musical is Musetta?
That would be Maureen Johnson, which is who I am playing. Maureen is everything. She is a narcissist. She is wild, free spirit. She was originally dating Mark in the show. That you learn that in the beginning, that they had been dating for a long time. And she dumps Mark. She cheats on Mark, dumps Mark. And when people ask who she's now with, they realize that she's now with a woman. So she is dating Joanne. Joanne is a wealthy lawyer, so that could be kind of, you know, alluding to La Boheme. But I think that Maureen does love, and she's passionate, and she's flirtatious. But because she's flirtatious, she takes from whoever she needs at the moment. So she's, you know, definitely all over the place. You'll see her hanging around with a lot of different people throughout the show. But
when Rodolfo first meets Mimi, Mimi comes into his room. He's working on a poem, and she walks into the room because her candle had gone out on the stairwell. I'd like you to compare that scene to Rent. Is there anything comparable in Rent with that?
Yeah, there's a song called Light My Candle. Mimi comes into the apartment to talk to Roger, and she's being very flirtatious and asking if she can light, you know, if he could light the candle for her, and is kind of, you know, her trying to lead lead into something romantic, and he's not really about it because he's still dealing with all of his past trauma. But you can kind of see their relationship starting to form there. And that's when you also see that Roger has had a past with drugs, and Mimi is also struggling with that. So there's a lot of different themes happening in that song, but there is, you know, definitely a moment that captures both, you know, La Boheme and Rent in there.
And the moonlight plays a big role in La Boheme. Oh, Suave Fanciulla, when she's kind of standing there in the moonlight. Rodolfo mentions that. Anything relative to the moon in Rent?
There's a lot of references to the moon. There is specifically in Light My Candle, Roger mentions, there's a line that says, your hair in the moonlight. When Mimi's singing about going out, she talks about the moon. And then, of course, Maureen Johnson at her protests about, you know, talking about the eviction of the homeless and artists from their lot. She sings a song called Over the Moon. So I think there's a lot of
connection
there.
What about Musetta's biggest aria in La Boheme is Musetta's waltz? I know you mentioned that before. There is mentions of that throughout Rent, correct?
Yes. Every time that Roger's about to play a song or he's thinking about writing his song, he plays parts of that sound like Musetta's waltz. And I think it's that hurdle he's trying to get over, getting over his past and realizing that, you know, Mimi is his future. He gets rid of that Musetta's waltz at the end. It's kind of still there a little bit, but at the end he finally writes his song for her, so...
I do find it amazing once you kind of watch Tick, Tick, Boom and you watch, you know, anything on Jonathan Larson, he really did incorporate elements of his life and his struggles into Rent.
Yeah.
Even though it's based on La Boheme, he definitely brought in his own life experiences,
right.
Correct?
Right. He definitely, he said that he wanted to take the story, but he kind of wanted to leave everything else out of it, I guess, musically wise. But I think they loved the fact that the opera or operas in general will tell the story so right there in front of you. You know, the lyrics are telling you exactly what you're supposed to be feeling and hearing. And he wanted that to be implemented into the show. But you can find pieces of his friends that are in interviews in every single one of these characters. And you can find him. And the first rehearsal they had was more of like a meeting of all the actors wanting to get together and just meet and make a bond. And he said that this show was specifically made for those people who are still here and all the ones that he lost. Obviously, you know, their friend group was, you know, losing a lot of people at that time from AIDS. And so I think it was really important to him to make sure that his story was, and their story was, you know, continuously told.
And then I'll flip it over to Puccini, right? Mm-hmm. And Puccini went to the Milan Conservatory, and that at that time he was living with Pietro Mascagni, who became a very famous composer himself, writing Cavalleria Rusticana with a beautiful intermezzo. But anyway, as young students, they were poor, living together. And during that time, they used to hide from the landlord because they couldn't afford the rent. And I know that shows up in La Boheme. He once sold his jacket because he needed to buy opera tickets because he was trying to hook up with this ballerina from La Scala. And I know that shows up in La Boheme. So like Jonathan Larson, a lot of, you know, his own experiences show up in La Boheme.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing that Jonathan Larson, who I did read an article one time where they talked about how he just loved La Boheme and he would read the libretto itself just because he loved the story so much. And it's obvious that he did because he based the entire production on it.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about opening night of Rent on Broadway, right? And what happened? For those who don't know the story.
Right.
What happened?
Right. So Rent had been a long process, and it was gaining a lot of popularity in the city. They had done multiple workshops of it, and it was, you know, already starting to sell out. But by opening night, they had created a fan base so big that, you know, everybody was there to see it. And apparently on the opening night of Rent, Jonathan Larson did pass away. I'm not entirely sure what it was, but I know it's something to do with his heart.
Is it a brain aneurysm or something like that?
Yeah, something,
yes.
You know.
An aneurysm.
Yeah, basically. So I think he knew that Rent was going to be popular, but I don't think he knew the impact that it was going to have on New York City and musical theater, and just the face of how musical theater was going to change. So, yeah, he, I don't even think he made it. I don't know if he was at the theater, but
I think he died at his apartment. Yeah,
before,
which is unbelievable. And then, you know, if you think about, let's say La Boheme would have been Puccini's. Mm-hmm. Let's say he would have died the night before La Boheme. That meant Tosca, Madama Butterfly, Il Tabarro, Sir Angelica, Turandot would not exist. We would not have that music. So imagine if Jonathan Larson lived, what else could he have brought to musical theater?
Right.
Sad. What a great, it's crazy to think about.
I know. And it's just interesting that I think he knew he was going to be successful, but again, he had those moments, as every artist does, where they question why they're doing it. And the fact that he just never got to see how successful his story was and how much people resonated with it. And I mean, it's still something that you talk to people and they still talk about how it's their favorite show. I mean, your cousin messaged me, Lindsay, and said, you know, that she was just so excited that it was being put on again because it's one of her favorites.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I hope those who are able in New Orleans, or if you're visiting, can go see.
Please do.
Please state the dates again at Tulane Summer Lyric.
Yeah, so the preview performance is August 3rd. So that's a Wednesday, and I believe those tickets are discounted. So I think you have to buy those in person. But the main performances are August 4th through the 7th. And you'd be able to find that on the Summer Lyric website. And there's a lot of stuff all over social media, so just look out for it.
There's something exciting about a young theater performer at the cusp of their career, right, mm-hmm. where you don't know where is it going. You really have no clue what's going to happen, correct?
Right. I mean, I walked into the rehearsal space, and there are people who have done national tours, who have a Broadway audition. You know, someone was auditioning for Broadway online this morning. And then there's people who are still going in high school, or they're in, you know, their last year of college. So that's the best part of coming into a new show in a professional setting, is that you are dealing with people from all different walks of life and different, you know, paths as far as their profession goes. And it makes you excited because you get to make those connections with people, and you never know where that's going to take you to. So, I mean, it's just been, it's been the best experience being here and being with such a talented and special cast and production team.
Well, we definitely looking forward to seeing you. And thanks so much for coming in and sharing some thoughts on Rent and what it's like to be a young performer.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.